Are you ready for what God is about to do? Oh, clap your hands for Jesus. And before we receive the evangelist to minister to us, let's welcome BDR to bless us with a song. She's bringing down refreshing.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Lord, you're the shepherd of my soul. I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to receive your holy word. Guide us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a blessing. How many are blessed already? Wonderful. I know God is blessing us mightily. And this morning, I want to share with you on the master key to a great ministry. A master key to a great ministry. All right. Now, the master key to a great ministry is vision. Your vision. Amen. You all know the famous scripture, Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29 verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So when we don't have a vision, the people perish. So many of us are not able to become what God wants us to become because we lack a vision of something supernatural. A vision is a supernatural thing. And your ministry is supernatural. God has not intended for you to be a school teacher. We don't need a vision to be a school teacher. Is that not so? If you're a school teacher, you don't need a vision. You need to go to the teacher training college. What do you call it here? Teacher training college. Yeah. You need to go to a teacher training college and you become a teacher. That's all you need. You don't need a vision at all. To be a lecturer in the university, you do not need a vision. I think we've got a professor here. Did you have a vision to become a professor? Like a vision, a dream. Is that your qualification for being a professor? If I came to your school and I wanted to be a lecturer and I told you I've had a dream that I'm a professor. Will you accept me in your... You will not accept me because that is not the qualification that is needed to be a lecturer. All right? But when you come to the house of God to work, there, without a vision, things are not going to work out. And many people don't have a great vision for ministry. And that is why they do not do great things. All right? Most people are satisfied, which is actually in my book, He That Hath. This is the greatest book on prosperity you may ever read. Those of you who are into prosperity. This is one of the greatest books of prosperity because it explains a great mystery. He that has shall have more. He that has not, even what he has will be taken away. It's one of the mysterious things. Africa, for the last 30 years, is the only part of the world which is becoming poorer. Every other part of the world is increasing a little in wealth. But Africa is decreasing. I don't know if Zimbabwe is a different part of Africa. I don't know whether you've been getting richer or poorer. Huh? It's exempted. Zimbabwe is exempted. Wow. It's not been exempted from the problem that has affected all of Africa. Yes. So, what it is that, why is it that he that has not seems to lose even what he has. And he that has seems to get even more of what he doesn't even need. Do you understand? Yes. It's a mystery. But one of the, this book talks about, each chapter explains one aspect of that mystery. Why? And one of the reasons is that when two people are put together, this is research done on poverty. It has shown that if you put two people together and you give them the same resources and opportunities, one would say, let me rest. And one would say, I have to work very hard and get more. These are the two types of people. And it explains, like one would say, let me, since I have 2 weeks to go, let me rest for 1 week and at the end I will study or I will work. And another will say, I have 2 weeks, I can do even more. People are, that's how, and pastors are like that. You have a church, you have a city, you have the fields, and one will say, let me rest. I mean, after all, I'm not the Lamb of God to die for people. Let me rest and do what my portion is. Do you see? Yes. You know, one day, one of my crusade directors, Bishop Prince, was leading some people and talking to them about the work. And what somebody saw, I'm asking that, do you not get tired? It's like he's talking too much. You see, people's attitude towards hard work is very different. And that's why in America, there are two different types of people who want to be in charge. The Democrats and the Republicans. And the Republicans, they say that, look, allow us to work. We will work and we will be rich. You see, and everybody should work and everybody should become what he can become. But the other people feel that, no, we have to take, you have too much. Bring some of what you have and let's distribute it. That's the Obama's group of people. It's not right for you to have so much. We should take more from you and share it. It's not fair. You understand? Yes. Let's share it. But they found out also that when they share, they still even get poorer. That has not. Because he feels like resting all the time. And if you give him more money, he will rest. More resting. Now, pastors are like that. Also, we have two types of pastors. The Democrat pastors and Republican pastors. The Democrat pastors, they don't understand why your ministry is so great. And why they don't have a God is doing something special with you. That's always what is in their mind. You are special. You have a special grace, a special calling, a unique anointing. You are in another whatever. We don't know why. You are different. And then there's the Republican pastors who say, let me do what, become what I can become. I want to press on as hard as I can and achieve as much as I can achieve. Yes. And that's what I find. I'm here. I have enough churches. I have a car with air conditioning already. Yes. By God's grace. And a CD player. There's a CD player in my car. I've prospered already. I don't need to be in Zimbabwe for 32 days. Preaching every night, every morning, every night, every morning, every night. Travel and preach, travel and preach. Get up morning, evening, evening, morning, every day. Without any break at all. I don't need it for anything. But you see, if you leave me, I will want to do more. Yes, more. And others will say, oh, let me. You know something? You are not the Lamb of God who died for the world. Allow us to rest a bit. Even there are people in my team who, if I was to leave, they say, oh, you know, thank God, let's rest. Yeah, let's take our leave. Let us rest. Yeah. So he that has shall have, to him shall be given. Because he that has the Republican attitude. And he that has not has the Democrat attitude. Even in the ministry. Give me some of your members. Why you have all the members? Share them. Why do you have so many churches? I have almost 3,000. We have almost 3,000 churches. It's likely that in some years to come, we're going to have over 10,000 churches. And he that has not any church is likely to, even the church you have will even close down. Yes. And what is it? Is that the Republican type of pastors have a vision to have something more. And the others are, okay, look, you know something, let's rest. They have no vision. That's the difference. So, that's why I'm sharing with you, you know, about that. Now, turn to me to Habakkuk chapter 2. He says in verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon my tower. You see, so I'm going to stand upon my watch and I'm going to wait on God. Is that not so? Are you with me? And I will watch to see. I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Amen. Please don't close your eyes in the... Excuse me, ma'am. Don't close your eyes. I cannot preach if you close your eyes. If you are here, you need to... With all due respect, I cannot speak to you. If you close your eyes, I will pack my things and leave. So that you continue. All right? Thank you. Now, I will watch to see... What, if you are feeling sleepy, you shouldn't be here. You are not called. Because if you are called, you'll be very excited at what I'm saying. If you have a calling, be very excited. You'll not be falling asleep. Yes. You should not be here, especially in the front. All right. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So everybody must wait on God. He says, I will stand on my tower. Amen. I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say. So, man of God, all right, in this book, Church Growth, I have a chapter, a section called Church Growth and Gethsemane, which is church growth is dependent on your waiting on God. You must wait on God. You must wait on God. All pastors must wait on God. You must know how to wait on God for 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. Only you. You and nobody. You and who? You and who? Nobody. I will watch and I will wait and see what he will say to me. And of course, he will say nothing to you because you don't watch and you don't wait and you don't see what he's saying to you. How will you ever hear anything from God? All right? Now, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. So now here comes a vision. Okay? And the vision is often not clear. All right? Visions are not clear most of the time. When God speaks to you, it's usually not clear what he's saying and what he wants to do with you. It's hazy. Okay? So when it is hazy, you don't see clearly what you should do. But it says, make it plain upon the tables. So wait on God until the visions are clear of what God wants you to become and to do. All right? And as you wait on God to see what he wants you to do and to become, when that vision is in your heart, what is in the verse will happen. That he may run that readeth it. You start running the race of your ministry when you read and see the vision God has for you. All right? But we don't run because there is no vision. And there's no vision because we don't wait on God. So I will stand upon my watch. I will wait on my tower to see what he will say to me. Then when I hear and he speaks to me, I have a vision. I will make the vision clearer. When the vision is clearer, then it will make me run. Amen. So most of us have no vision in ministry. Look, I am a professional. I'm a professional trained medical doctor. 7 years in medical school, qualified. There's no question about that. And I've been practicing and licensed up till today. All right? So I'm a professional medical doctor. I'm not uneducated. I'm more educated than most of the people I speak to. Because most people, if you go to university, it's just 3 years. I was in university for 7 years. If you went to the university, that is. So, but as I entered into the ministry as a medical student and then a medical doctor practicing, you see, there was a vision in my heart to do something more and to see more things. That's what pushed me towards the ministry. At a point, it's like, I can't even, you know, one time I said to myself that if I stay working in this hospital, I will kill people. Because my mind is not on it. My mind and my heart's on the vision that is, there's a picture. Every one of us has a picture. That's the picture you are running to. We are all running towards a certain picture that we have. Amen. And I'm going to show you your picture. After practicing medicine, I did business for about 1 year. A whole week would go by, sometimes 2 weeks, before I remember that I'm doing business. I've forgotten. And the business I was doing was, I had a tipper truck and I was a sand and stone supplier. I was supplying sand and stones for construction at our harbor and other projects. Sometimes Sunday night after church, I said, hey, where are these guys? I've forgotten about them. My mind is not on it. Till the Lord spoke to me and said, look, give thyself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may appear to all. And then I said, look, enough of everything that my mind is not on. So, every one of us, it is natural. You just keep going towards your vision. So, as we've come here, if we are sharing with you about church growth, and you don't have a picture of church growth, none of these things will be of interest to you. Why will you need church growth? You're okay. There's no vision. You don't see anything more possible, more greater that is possible. Now, for the vision is yet, doctor, read it.
Habakkuk 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the vision that God puts in your heart will definitely come to pass. And I'm telling you today, every one of you must have a vision. Turn with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help on one that is mighty, and I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Amen. This is David, though. This is the beginning of King David. He says, thou speakest in a vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help on him that is mighty. I found David my servant with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whose hand my hand will be established, my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. So God spoke to David. So even though David was just anointed by Samuel, he was spoken to in a vision. So you need a vision. You need a strong and great vision burning in your heart. Yonggi Cho used to say, you need a burning vision. You need a vision, otherwise you'll never have a big church. Most of us are Democrat pastors. Share your members and share your wealth. Share what you have. Just share it amongst everybody. You are special. You are different. Share everything for us. Share your money. Give us some of your cars. So pastors, I want us to know that God wants us to have a great vision. Now, there are two ways that we are going to have great visions. And I want you to listen, pay attention, because this is a very important part. Because when I say you must have a vision, it's like, hey, but you can't force us to have a vision. If God gives us, we will have it. Is it not true? But there are two ways which God gives visions. Now, look at Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. And verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me and saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Okay, you can read it.
Fear not, I am the first and the last. Mm. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Mm. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
Wow. That's it. Read on.
The mystery of the seven stars.
Okay, so that's fine. Verse 10. Now, there are three things that are talked about in ministry or in your life. One of the things is the things which you have seen. Look at it. Write the things. And so, people who write books often must know that this is the qualification to write a book. The things which thou hast seen. Look at it. The things which thou hast seen. And then number two, the things which are. A lot of pastors come, you've not seen anything, you want to write a book out of your theories.
Wow.
Do you see? These books that are here are out of what I've seen. What I've seen in ministry. I've seen those who pretend. I've seen those who leave you. I've seen those who forget. I've seen those who are ignorant. I've seen those who are dangerous sons. I've seen those who accuse you. And I've seen those who are disloyal. And I've seen those who are proud. Every book I have written is out of what I have seen. So when you read the book of somebody who has not seen, it's different from the book of somebody who has seen. So it says, write the things that thou hast seen. Hey.
Wow.
But that is not a vision. And the things which are is what is happening now. Many of the things that are described, these things include the things that are. So there are three areas that you can focus on. And they are all important. But the third area is the things which shall be hereafter. Okay? So there are three types of things you can write about. One is what has happened, which is historical. Number two, the things which are, which is what you are experiencing. And then number three, the things which are in the future. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is the master key. In my new book called Victory Secrets, I have shared the secret of writing books. And one of the secrets of writing books is this secret. Write the things which thou hast seen. Not what you imagine. Because we can all write about so many things. But write the things which thou hast seen. And number two, the things which are in reality. And then number three, the things which shall be hereafter. That's for the future. Now, the whole Bible contains these three categories.
Okay.
And I'm showing you how to have a vision. The things which have been, okay, the Bible says, are the things which shall be. There's nothing new under the sun. So when you study history, do you see, it helps you to have a vision for what shall be. When I read Oral Roberts' story of his crusades, it helps me to know what can be. when I read Benny Hinn and all the books I've read many, many biographies. Biography is my favorite book after the Bible. It's biographies. Yes. Because biographies are a type of guidance and a type of warning. What has happened will happen. Yes. That's why I don't build a Christian university. Because of what happened to Oral Roberts University. I don't believe in Christian universities. I believe in Christian education, and I believe Christian university is a good thing. But I don't believe it as a substitute for church planting. Yes. And unfortunately, people are substituting Christian university for church planting. But Christian university is governed by an accreditation board. It's not governed by spiritual things, even if you call it Christian. You can call it Christian, but it's not governed by Christianity. I can't teach my version of medicine and qualify medical students and say, you are a doctor. So by the anointing, I declare you after 2 years, you are a doctor. Go forth in the name of Jesus as a medical doctor. You can't do that. I wouldn't even like that. You have to study anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and pass exams at a certain level. You must be taught by certain type of people who have certain qualifications, minimum qualifications. You must study in a certain type of facility and environment to train you and train your mind. You can't just get up and declare people, you are a doctor, you are a lawyer, you are this and that. No. So Christianity, Christian education is a different topic altogether. Are you with me? So reading about what happened to him, how his medical center was closed down within a few years, and how he never managed to get accreditation for it. And now it was closed down, his broken heart and his university was taken from him before he died. And his son was asked never to step on the campus again by these lecturers and such people. Teaches me and guides me on that things which have been. That's what you have seen. Oh yes. It was taken from him. Before he died a broken man. Yes. It was taken from him. Yeah, this is what many people don't realize. And many churches are diverting all their attention into such things, thinking that they are doing the works of God. And it's a good thing. It's a very nice thing, the Christian university. I would like my child to go to such a school. Definitely. But it's different from church planting. It's a deviation of, if you take the children's bread and you give to the dogs. It's not that we don't believe in dogs or that dogs shouldn't eat. But children must have their bread. The dogs also can have their parts. You can't take the children's bread and give it. You can't take what is for Caesar and give it to God. Give to Caesar what is belonging to Caesar, and what is for God, you give to God. Are you there or you are going home? So there are three types of things you can read about. That which, write the things which thou hast seen. And you can see more by reading biographies and stories. Then number two, the things which are, they also are, and sometimes very sad to analyze yourself how you are today. Okay? That is not also something that is going to give you much of a vision. Things that have been are more like warnings. It doesn't really give you a vision. It can show you what you can be if the story is good. But most of the time, when you read the things which have happened, they are more like warnings. And number two, the things which are, how you are today. If you look at how you are today, you can never have a good vision.
Teaching.
Amen? You can't have a good vision. Because you are not great today. You are not nice as you could be. There's much more nicer than you could be. So if you look at the things that are, you're preaching. You see, that's why you can't preach about miracles. Because if you look at the things that are, you'll never preach about miracles. If I was to look at the things that are to preach in Zimbabwe, that's not what I look at to preach. When Philip went down to Samaria, the problems that were in Samaria, you cannot imagine. Still, he preached Christ. That's a pastor. You know, I was telling some Americans one time, I said, you people, The message of Christ and the message of the cross is what is needed in Africa. I was telling them that I am from Africa. All my life, 100%, not even 99, 100% I've lived in Africa. There is no part of me I've ever lived or gone to school outside Africa before. I've traveled more in Africa than many people. The poverty, difficulty, financial, economic, democracy, what is needed is Christ. But you see, when you look at the people and you see that the people are called, today I've come to teach you about prosperity. Turn your Bible to 3 John 2. I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health. Then we start. Prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Even to the point of saying that Jesus came to speak more about prosperity than anything else. Which is, I mean, nonsense. How can you say something like that? You are a fool. And if you know that, you just keep smiling. No one will know that it's a shame. You are spoiling the church. When you look at how things are, your message will change. You start comforting people, counseling them, doing this. You can't preach great things. That's why we are always surprised when we meet somebody who preaches great things. It's like, wow, how can he say all these fantastic things? It's like, can he not see the issues? Yeah. But Philip went down to Samaria and preached nothing else but Christ. When he preached Christ, it's all fantastic. It's wonderful. It's great. So looking at how you are is not a good way of getting a vision. If I look at my church as my church, I will not have a good vision. My vision for church growth is Moses. I'm looking at Moses who carried 2 million people out of Egypt. A shepherd of 2 million people. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at my state now with a few thousand people here and there. I'm seeing something greater. He carried them on eagle's wings. He carried 2 million people out of Egypt. Shepherded them. What a shepherd. I said, this is the vision that I have. But if I look at my situation, I will never have that vision. So what do you need to have a vision is the third part of this verse. You must look at the things that shall be hereafter. Look at it, hereafter. You see, there are things in the future that you must look at. And you must focus on those things to become a man of faith. Don't look at today. Don't look at what is. Don't look at what you've seen. Look at the things that shall be hereafter. When you look at the things that shall be hereafter, or even when you hear somebody preaching about the things that shall be hereafter, it even sounds like a joke. It sounds so fantastic. Recently, I was in, is it Botswana? And I was preaching to them at the camp about your destiny. Hey! I was telling them what their destiny is. It was fantastic. Was charged. Tell somebody your destiny is just too great. Amen. And you need to hear messages on your destiny in the ministry. That's why in our camp meetings, the Makane, which we have here, I preach about many times, especially that my more recent camps are more in that line. I've recently preached a camp called They Shall Not Be Few. Another camp, I will multiply them. And one shall become 1,000. These are things that shall be hereafter. When you hear such messages, you've never heard Moses is a shepherd of 2 million. That's why it has not occurred to you that what about 2 million people in your church? You've not heard it before. But when you hear such things, it's like, oh, wow. Something like this is possible. A little one shall become a nation. Yes. I preach a camp. Expect great things. Attempt great things. Yes. Stir it up. Let my people. So there are camp messages that encourage people with a greater vision. And I've always actually been preaching like that. mega church on this camp meetings. We have a camp called mega church, double mega missionary church, 1,000 micro church. We didn't have 1,000 churches. Nothing near 1,000 churches. I preached 1,000 micro churches 10 years before we ever had. I'm sure we had maybe 100 churches or 70 churches or 100 churches, something like that. And I preached 1,000 micro churches we shall have. Now we have almost 3,000. I preached pastors of thousands. These are famous messages in our... I named some of the streets on our campus after these camp meetings. Pastors of thousand streets. Thousand micro churches streets. It's big is the things that shall be hereafter. When you hear things that shall be hereafter, that's why you need to travel. When you hear things that are here, shall be hereafter, you start to have a bigger dream for your ministry and for your life. If you look at how you are now, you'll be sad. Because as you sit here, you see that you are sinful. Don't you feel sinful? If you feel sinful, raise your hand. So how can a great thing come from you? Do you see? So if you look at the things that are, it will not work at all. You must look at the things that shall be hereafter. And I like listening to such things. Now, let me show you Isaiah chapter 2. That's an example of things that shall be hereafter. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2. Yes. You want to read it? Why not?
Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house
shall be
established in the top of the mountains.
Wow.
And shall be exalted above the hills. Mm. And all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Amen. So it shall come to pass in the last days. This is what you have to believe, that the mountain of the Lord's house will be a mountain, shall be established. So the church is going to be established. We are established. God has established the church. If I was not having an established church, what would I be doing here? Yes, what would I be doing here if I don't have an established church? Where would I get the money to come? Where do you think I get the money to come here? You didn't give me money to come here. If I don't have an established church, my church is so established that having a crusade doesn't affect the finances of my church. It doesn't take away from anything I'm building or anything I'm doing. It doesn't. Receive that grace in Jesus' name. Yes. It shall come to pass in the last day. This is a prophecy for you, for your church, for your ministry. And you have to believe these are the things that give you a great vision. That the mountain of the Lord, that the church will not be a hill or a plain. It will be a mountain. And I think because of this scripture, everybody here must visit a real mountain. I think when you have not seen a real mountain, you don't understand this verse. When you see mountains, you are filled with awe. I've seen mountains. I'm from Switzerland also. My mom is Swiss. Swiss mountains, since I was a child, taken to the mountains, the Alps. Oh, yes. When you see Mont Blanc in France, the huge mountains, the highest mountain in Europe, you are filled with awe. A place that I need to go is, what's the big one? No, Everest. When the Bible is describing the church as a mountain, it's like an awesome feature. And when you climb, when you go up the Mont Blanc mountain, they have plaques. Who came here first? And the dates that they came, the explorers, and how they came here, and their names, and everybody. Because it was a great achievement to climb these mountains. Because it's a very great thing on the earth. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and exalted. The church will be exalted. Your ministry will be exalted. Your life will be exalted. You're not going to have an ordinary ministry, an ordinary life. Oh, yes. Believe in all these things. Get my message on your destiny. I preach it in Botswana. Get it and believe it. Listen to it. It will happen. It will happen. It will happen practically. When you hear such things, you see, things never occur to you till you hear them. It's like it doesn't occur to you. It's like it's not occurred to me before. So I heard it. It just doesn't come to your mind as a possibility. Now that I've told you that Moses had 2 million, you are analyzing your church and say that, my vision has been quite small. Yes. And many shall come to say, shall come from all nations and shall say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. For he shall teach us of his ways. Oh, yes. You can have a ministry with nations. Nations. Nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Since I've been in Zimbabwe, I have been offering people scholarship to come to Ghana to Bible school. And I know many Zimbabweans are already, even I have, where is Tina, what's his name? Is it you in Gweru? Yeah, what's her name again? Kodak. Yes, he was in Bible school for 4 years. He's in Gweru. Yes, he's come back. He's building a church. He has 2 churches now. Over there. Yes. Nations, not just Ghanaians. What is Ghana? We are talking of nations. Ghana is nothing. We need nations. Nations, your ministry will be international. Turn with me to Isaiah 60. These are what gives you a big vision. Instead of your little thing that you are happy with yourself over there. I don't know why you are so happy with yourself. Ask your neighbor, why are you so happy with yourself with nothing? You are happy with nothing. Are you a Democrat pastor? Are you
Isaiah 60.
Wow. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. What is light? What makes you shine is light. This is light, the light of the word. Thy word is a light for my path. Thy word is a light for my path, a lamp to my feet. So when light comes to you, knowledge comes to you. Can somebody take the baby out, please? When I was a young man, I'm still young, very young. You can see from my face that I'm very young. When I was much younger, what do you call it? Somebody gave me a book, free. That's why my books, they are not for sale, really. They are virtually free. Because it costs transport, blah, 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 so much. That's why even you have to help. You have to help. Somebody gave me a book. That book was the light that came to my life. By Kenneth Hagin. Little book. Half this size. And I read it. I can still picture myself in the veranda in my father's house. Reading that book. And listening to the amazing story that Kenneth Hagin was telling in that book. I remember the story as it was yesterday. I became interested. Arise. That was the beginning of my life. Arising and shining. Light was coming into my life. You never shine till you have light. No matter who you are, you don't shine till you have light. Yes. In Ghana, people who are very fair are called inside light. It's like they have a light inside them. That's why they are so fair. Like maybe this lady will be called inside light. Like if you are very fair, it's like there's a light in you that makes you shine. Inside light. Inside light. Arise and shine. 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 Shine, shine, shine like a star. Shine like a star. Shine like a star. Shine, shine like a star. for thy light is come. Light is come. Books came to me. Anointing came to preaching tapes. You see, you ask yourself why anything that affected me as a young person, I tried to replicate it. Like secondary school, Scripture Union affected me. So I formed a group called Eli. And in all secondary schools in Ghana. Yes. And I have many fruits from that. And for me, another one. To mimic Scripture Union. Because Scripture Union was such a blessing to me. Yes. Preaching on tapes was such a blessing to me. Because I received so much. I listen to preaching all the time. It's my standard noise in my room. When I wake up, I just put on whatever it is. I need it. And it starts. Oh, yes. I can listen to 100 messages on a topic before I'll ever preach about it. The same topic. Just a little difference. And it's going and going and going and going. That's why when I preach, you can't tell where I learned what I learned from. I'll mention all the names of the people that I learned from, but you still don't see how. Because the thing is soaked so much, it is part of me. It says, and you take the little book and eat it, not read. You eat it until the book is now part of your meat. So when I preach, you say that he what knows. But if I show you, I can show you this meat is from this chisanyama, this one is from chicken, this one is from this, this one is from this. But you can't see how it is converted into it. Light has come. Light has come. So when we finish this conference, we are going to make available these books to you. People can't believe, I know, that we are making these available. Yes. 40 books on all these fantastic subjects. Church growth, all the things we are talking about. Catching the anointing, steps to the anointing. Beautiful. If you are interested in ministry, if you are interested in fairy tales, there are no fables here. These are ministry. If it's just Christian, normal Christianity, don't buy these books. Normal Christian, there are just one or two normal Christian books here. But the rest are for people who want to work for God. Do you understand? So if you are just a normal Christian, don't bother to waste your money on this. All right? But if you are a serious worker who wants to shine, then this you need it. So one of these books costs $10, some $15. All right? But, so this is going to cost $400 to $450. All right? Our books are sold in Harare. If you go to, what's the name of, Celebration Center in Bulawayo, they are sold at $10, $15. But I've brought a special library of all the books, 40 of them. Instead of $450, is going to be available to you for just $55. When we were in Harare, people couldn't believe it. People came to buy and went and sold in their shop at a different price because it was too cheap. They could not believe. And the people bought it. So they've come for more. Yes. Yes. And somebody even came once to buy 180, following us here to come and buy 180 more of these. So I'm just telling you that this is a great thing available. Arise and shine for thy light. Thy word is a light for my path. Yes. Thank you. Now, arise and shine for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now this is your things that shall be hereafter. When you hear them, your spirit starts to rise. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Is it not darkness in Zimbabwe? Gross darkness, the people. Difficulties all over Africa. Tell me which country is not in difficulty. I've been to South Africa. I've been to Zimbabwe. To me, you are Zimbabweans. I'll tell you, South Africa, to me, is more difficult than Zimbabwe. Oh, yes. More danger, more critical danger. You don't know. You are in your country. You don't travel. That's why you complain. You don't travel. That's why you complain. Yes. I've been in South Africa roaming around doing crusades. And no. But you see, every country is in that. If you come to Ghana, we are having elections today or tomorrow. Tomorrow. Fighting. Come and watch. Ish. Because our last election, they said, after they went to court for 6 months, and the court said, 8 months, the court said, no, the election result is correct. So carry on. So now, this year, everybody says that we realize that the court cannot help us. So we are going to decide it on the ground. Look at that. Everything will be decided here. We know that the court cannot change anything on the ground. So everybody's wild. Eyeball to eyeball. Hey. So every country is in darkness. Gross darkness shall cover them. But it is in this very environment that the glory of the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Wow. It's amazing. Receive the glory of God upon your life and your ministry. The Lord shall arise upon me. What does the Lord shall arise upon me? Exactly what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has risen upon me. The anointing rises in the midst of darkness. John Wesley was preaching in England when England was at the poorest, most difficult time of the whole of the history of England. Yeah, that was the difficult time. The gross darkness over the earth is the environment for the Spirit of the Lord to rise upon thee and for you to become great as God has intended for you to be. If God brought me to Bindura to stay here, I will be happy. Oh yes. There is no place. Look, there is nowhere that is not good. Oh, you people, you don't know. Me, I can go to America. I can go to Switzerland. I'm Swiss. My mother is from there. I'm half-half. I can live there. I can live here. You don't know. A place where there is darkness, gross, that is where the light even comes and shines upon you. God uses you there. There are many pastors who are in America with 23 members. If they were in Zimbabwe, they would have 3,000 members. Yes. They are forsaken their calling and gone to follow American environment. Because they see McDonald's and milkshake and Coca-Cola and they are so happy. Say, we want to stay with Coca-Cola. We want to buy chicken. Hamburgers. Hey. Are you with me? These are things that shall be hereafter. And Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Kings are going to come and listen to what you say. Yes. Oh, yes. One time I visited a head of state, a president. When he came in, he said, "To what do I owe this honor? Kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising." If I was a doctor at the hospital in consulting room too, do you think that he would say, what do I owe this honor? King shall come to the brightness of the rising. Oh yes. On Good Friday, the president attended our service. And I thought he would come after. You know, maybe at the end. I said, no, he wants to come for the service. Came and sat there. I preached my whole message. He was sitting behind me. King shall come to the brightness of thy rising. From school, I came from nothing. No one appointed me or approved of me. He sat there as I preached throughout. I prayed for the sick, took miracles. He was sitting there watching in amazement. The president of our country, with all his army and security everywhere, flying all over and guns and everything. King shall come to the brightness of thy rising. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about what is happening now. I'm talking about things that shall be hereafter. Believe it. Believe it. One time I was in a presidential home of a president, and I told him, say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus. I said, repeat it after. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Forgive me for my, forgive me. He said everything. Amen. He was very happy. Kings shall come. Not just little children that you were leading to Christ. Kings. You are leading them in the sinner's prayer. That is your destiny and that is your future. If you look at how you are now, you say I'm lying. But if you just believe it, you will not know how it will happen. That's why people don't preach big things. Because they look at how things are today. If I was to be in Bindura, you'll be surprised at the type of conventions that will be held here. People would think that Bindura is the capital. They will not know about Harare. Yes. Practically. Yes. They will think that Bindura is the capital. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Yes. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. You see, he's telling you, see, prophetically. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Thy sons shall come from afar. The young man who was the crusade director here, he's my son from afar. From London, from England. From afar, they come, all of them. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Thy son shall come from far. I have so many. When you see somebody, you never know the country it comes from. So you ask, you'll be shocked. You say, yeah, I thought you were from Ghana. I say, no, nothing from me is from Ghana. It's just the Holy Ghost has brought me. Thy son shall come from afar. And thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. My daughters are the ones singing. They have been with me for 20, 30 years. They are my daughters nursed at my side. Oh yes. From they were children. All I officiated all their weddings. They are all my daughters. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Nobody works for me for money. There's not even one person who works for me for money. Your family cannot work for you for money. Which part of your family is working for you for money? Do you think my wife works in the ministry for money? If my wife is asking when is her next promotion and when is her next salary rise? I've never heard such a thing before. Your family do not work for money. They work for the love of their father. So this is our father's work. And we are fighting for our father. We are singing for our daddy. That's the song he likes, and that's what we are singing. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. This shall be your story in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Lift up thine eyes and see. They come. Thou shalt see and flow together. God is going to give you unity. You shall flow together. Flowing together. Flowing together as a family. Flowing together as a team. Thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The forces of the Gentiles, the money of the Gentiles. Money. You can never be poor when you follow God. I said you can never be poor when you follow God. Following God is the master secret to prosperity. Following money is the master secret to poverty. The love of money is the root of all poverty. Poverty is one of the evils which comes by the love of money. Your loving money has made you a poor man. Your wanting money, African leaders wanting money has made Africa poor. The love of money has made Africa poor. The love of money has made Africans poorer than they would have ever been. You see, African leaders, African whatever, they can't even live in their own countries because the money they've stolen, they've taken it somewhere and they can't even use it. One time I was in Nigeria and I stayed in a hotel. The next door was another house or a hotel also. And there were these big poly tanks. And they told me that when there was a revolution or so, there was one of the army commanders or politicians or whatever, when they invaded his house, the polytanks, big, big ones, water tanks, was full of dollars. It wasn't water. And that's why he's keeping the money. Full. Full. 1,000 gallons, dollars. See the gallons. Yes. There's nowhere to keep it. You cannot use it. The love of money has made us poor. The love of money repels money and repels prosperity. The love of God, the love of him who died for us, the heart for him, is what draws all the prosperity that we are seeking for. Forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. These are things that shall be hereafter. Yes. Wow. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. Camels are transportation. Look at my transportation outside. I don't know which one to use. I don't know which one to use. Multitude of camels. They shall come and bring thee gold and incense. Gold. People will bring you offerings from afar. You'll be standing there and say, an offering has come from unexpected sources. You don't even know who it is. So you blessed me, you did this. I don't know. From afar. Gold and incense. Do you believe such things?
Yes.
Wow. And the flocks shall gather and they shall minister unto thee. Who are these? Verse 8, that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows. You will be flying all over the world. People will ask, who are these that fly as a cloud? Where are they going again? Every day you fly, 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 fly. Who are these that fly as a cloud? Do you believe what I'm telling you? Who are these that fly as a cloud? You think you are stuck in Zimbabwe? No. When the anointing is on you and you walk in the ministry. Yes. You know, one day, you know, these security people, they are watching all that you do, all that you say. One friend of mine told me, he said, oh, in the security in Ghana, they know you come, you go, you always come. They know you do this, you come, travel, go. They know all. They watch. I'm sure you have it here too. More than even in Ghana. They will be asking themselves, who are these that fly as a cloud, as doves to their windows? You are the next high-flying minister in the name of Jesus. Who are these that fly? Yeah. You'll fly and you'll be tired. I said, you'll fly and you'll be tired. Surely the isles shall wait for thee. The ships of Tarshish to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them. That's why I said, don't seek for money, seek for sons. Seek for sons. Seek for sons, children. The more ministers you have, the more churches, the more members. Don't seek for money. Somebody look at me, I went to pastor children. Nobody in my church has a car, almost now, but now they are starting to have cars. It's like, why are you go and pastor children? Because I'm not seeking for money. I'm seeking for sons and children. Yes. And you watch and see. You will be jealous soon and asking, who are these sons coming with their gold and their incense and their silver? Because I'm not interested in money. I'm interested in my sons. Yes. Wow. God is going to be good. God is good. Amen. This is your destiny. Wow. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I had mercy on you. The sons of strangers shall build up. Foreigners will work for you. When I say foreigners to you, the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls. I just have to look around and I see people from different countries. This one is, when I ask her to speak now, you hear her language. Hey, come here and speak your language. Leave your camera and come and speak your language. Say something to the people. Then you know her country.
Dumelang. Sanbonani ninjani. Modimo wa lerata.
Mo.
Uganet met julle mense. My name is Mary. Alles is reg met my.
Wow. Do you know where she comes from now? From where? Strangers shall build up thy walls. You can decide after church where she comes from. I just have to point where they are from. Different, all over. When I look, strangers shall build up thy walls. Different countries. I'm surrounded by international, united denominations. Hallelujah. Receive an international ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. Arise and shine, for thy light has come. So, listening to preaching about your future helps to build your vision. I'm giving you two ways to build your vision. That's one. Number two, looking at people helps to build your vision. Looking at people who God has given you to follow helps to build your vision. Art of following. Look at this book, The Art of Following. Follow me and I will make you. You are not made into anything because you are following nobody. Follow me and I will make you into fishes of men. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. A beautiful scripture right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Wow. Now I want you to notice this great revelation. Do we begin to commend ourselves or need we ask some others letters of commendation?
Teaching.
All right. Do we commend ourselves or need we ask some others letters of commendation? You are our epistle. You, the human being, are our epistle.
Wow.
Written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So the human being is a letter. An epistle is a letter. It's a book. And other versions say, you are our letter of recommendation. Written in our hearts, recognized and read by everyone. The Message Bible says, you yourselves are all the endorsement we need. You are the one to endorsement. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. So by just looking at somebody, you get a letter. I am a letter to many people. And you are also a letter to people. When you are in the ministry, and you are failing in the ministry, you are a letter to people that don't ever come this way. Even you are a letter to your children that don't go to the ministry. Ministry is a bad thing. You yourselves are a letter that is read by people. True. That's why many children of pastors don't want to be pastors. They say, they don't like the letter. When they see the letter, they say, oh wow, what am I reading? What am I reading? I don't like this letter. Hey! When they see you fighting at home, one day my daughter said, is there another daddy that I can marry? Yes. I wish there's another daddy that I can marry. Yes. She read the letter. She said, I would like to marry if there's a daddy number two for me to marry. Yes. You are a letter written. And they are reading it, whether you want them to read it or you don't want them to read it. They are reading it. It's like newspapers. Yes. Hey. Yes. Children read letters all the... One day I visited a certain pastor's house and the children said, our mommy is not spiritual. She only watches films. Yes, these are children talking. She only watches films. Mommy only watches films. Mommy only reads the Bible if she's going to preach. But daddy is always praying. Yeah, children talking. You are a letter read by all. They are reading you and they are talking. They are reading you and they are talking. One day a daddy and a mommy were in the house. The mommy thought she was cool and the daddy thought he was. Then the children said, no, mommy is wild and daddy is cool. Mommy is what? Mommy is wild and daddy is cool. You see, they could see. Like you would think it's the other way. They said, no. Daddy is cool. It's mommy who is wild. She's always, daddy is cool. Hey. One day I was talking to a certain daughter of some family. She said, I feel sorry for my father. The way they treat him. The way mommy treats him. And she described a scene at the table when they were bringing food and he said he didn't like what they had, what they had made. And the way they... She described it to me. She said, I feel sorry for daddy. When I started preaching about honoring your father, her attitude changed towards her father. She started to like her father. Then she started to notice how her father was being treated. But she didn't notice before because at first she also didn't like her father. But I... Sit strong, honor your father, like your father. If you don't like your father, then you are sick. Something's wrong with you. She said that, look at how they treat daddy. He just said he didn't like the way they had done it. And they just, look at him. This what? Huh? Huffing and puffing. You are a letter. Read. One child said, I wouldn't like to marry somebody like my mother. All my stories are true. You see, the fairy tales, you can see me after church, but all my stories are true. It's sad. One young man, he said to me, he was telling us, he said, we never used to treat our daddy nicely. When daddy comes home, we all run away. Say, he's coming. And they ran away. And he said, one day he watched his father. His father came home, came into the room. No one was there. No wife, no children. Everybody has scattered. In Ghana, we say A by A. It means he's coming. And he said he came to the sitting room, opened the door, and he looked around. Then he went to the television and went to put his hand behind the television to feel that it was hot. And he knew that they were there. And just when he was coming, then they all went away. He said, I don't like the way they treat daddy. So, brothers and sisters, you are a letter written. Now, God writes letters to you. Look at it. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Or let's read from another version that you may understand better. You show that you are a letter from whom? from Christ. So God is actually sending you a letter or a message. This letter is not from a personal. The human being you are seeing is a letter written from God to you. I'm reading from NIV. You show that you are a letter written from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but on tables of human hearts. So God writes on your heart a letter. Christ, you are a letter from Christ. So sometimes you meet somebody and the person is a letter from God to you. That person, the person is not what he says, the person. Now this is the other source of visions that God gives us. He gives us vision. Look, when I met Kenneth Hagin, all right, let me start with Fred Price. I saw him preaching in his church. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be like Fred Price. I liked the way he spoke. I liked the way he spoke about his family, his wife, his children. I learned it. I liked it. I liked the church. All those things. It was beautiful to me. I liked the way he taught. It was a letter that was imprinted on my heart what I could be. Vision. When I heard Kenneth Hagin had printed 65 on his death, I watched his funeral several times. His funeral is one of the most educative videos I've ever watched. Because so many people give testimonies as his coffin is lying in front there. And you learn so much. They said he had published 65 million books. That number stuck in my head. Up to now, we have published almost 15 million books. So say I'm on the road. I'm not into 6,000 or 3,000. The 65 million is in my head. I'm seeing something. Are you listening to me? I said, I'm seeing something. That number is in my head. That number is in my head. Crusades. I see Bonkey's Crusades. It's a letter written to me. The numbers and the things are letters to me. So my vision, that's my vision. That's what I'm working towards. Largest. I want to hear the word is the largest. It's the biggest. I want to, it's never been. And that's what I'm hearing every day. That's what I'm hearing every day. The largest, the biggest, the whatever. This is what I'm hearing every day. Because that's the letter that God wrote to say, this man. I met him recently in Brazil. He was very ill. The minutes I spent with him were like treasures. Treasured moments. I knew probably this is the last time I'll see him. But it's a letter written to me since I was young. In my heart, I know what to do. And I know what to try to attain to. Yes. I was surprised when we had the pastor's conference in Harare. Pastor Tom Duchel told me, he said, this is the largest pastor's conference and gathering ever in Zimbabwe. And he said, I was here when Bonke tried to have pastor's conference. It cost him so much and they did so much 36 years ago. I was amazed when people were telling me, we've never seen a crusade before in Harare. It's the first time. Korea, seeing Yonggi Cho and seeing a board that he made, Church Growth International Board, was like a letter written to me. I have a board. Working. You see, when you don't see things, you have no vision because you don't see. When I saw Benny Hinn preaching, healing the sick, I have that vision. Many things you see the person, that person is actually a message from no lesser a person than Christ. Not that the person is writing to you by trying to be himself, but God is speaking to you and the message is, look at this person. Keep watching. Are you there or you are leaving? One day a pastor died. Just before he died, I don't know him. He's not my friend. I've never met him. Something occurred to me. Go and find out about this person. Then I think he died the next day or that week. I just found out some things about him. And then I met somebody else who mentioned. Then I felt the Lord impressing. Study how this person died. Why he died. Any pastor who dies, I'm interested in how he died and why he died. The age that he died. Yeah. In Kenneth Hagin's book, I Believe in Visions, he told the pastor, he said that you'll be dead by 55. He gave him the age, 55. If you are, if I was not to correct you, you'll be dead by 55. Sharp, you will not cross 55. You have no vision because you don't even know people. You don't expose. You don't even travel. You don't read. You don't see. You don't know that is there, that is possible. So you have no vision. These are the two ways to have visions. One is you listen to preaching that is beyond, it's not even normal. It's like what I was preaching now. Kings shall come to the brightness of the right. Gentiles shall come. Strangers shall build your walls. Believe it. Just keep saying it. You will not know how it will happen. Suddenly you will see that you are South African, but most of the people who work for you are not from South Africa. From here. Suddenly you see your church is become, you have the big vision for church growth. Suddenly you see you have church growth. Allow the message of a person to stamp in your soul. Allow the message of a person to be stamped in your soul. Because I asked myself, like, so I thought when you said vision, we will see Jesus, like, when we close our eyes, we will see Jesus moving in the cloud and flying. Look. If that is the vision you are waiting for, you may wait till you die. to see Jesus in the clouds and to hear these fantastic things. I heard one pastor say, he hears God speaking to him clearly like a person. God will say, turn right, go straight, turn left. Okay, turn right, turn left. I said, fantastic. I have never heard Jesus telling me right, left. How about you? Have you been hearing turn right, turn left? You see, sometimes when you hear these great testimonies, you get confused and you feel you are not called. You feel very ordinary. How many feel ordinary? Sometimes like you really feel ordinary, like Charlie. Like when they say, how many feel the spirit? You don't know what, you are not feeling the spirit. You are feeling hungry. Do you get what I'm saying? Or you are feeling tired. So you feel the spirit. You are feeling hungry. Wow. So, one of the visions, it says, you are a letter, a message. That person you see that is a message to you from God, from Christ. No other than Christ talking to you, speaking to you, telling you what to do. Wow. Why did we come to Bindura? You know, there are some towns in Zimbabwe we are not going to. Yeah, we left out this town, so many towns. Bindura has been chosen. Why Bindura? Now, God wants us to come here. God wants you to catch the anointing. Steps to the anointing. Sweet influences of the anointing. The art of hearing. God wants you to know how to hear His voice. What I'm sharing with you now is a master key for hearing His voice. Anything I see is a message. There are some things I don't want to say here, but anything I see is a message. It's a message to me. Careful of this. So God wants you to have bigger visions. I don't know whose church is this. This is a beautiful church. There can be more of these churches in Bindura. They can be even bigger than this in Bindura. Yes. Very possible. I have rarely gone to a place that I didn't learn something from there. It's almost impossible. I go somewhere. Even right now, as I'm here, I'm looking, I'm learning something. I'm getting some ideas from what I'm seeing. Oh, yeah. You are blind. That's why you don't see. When you are saying, you think there's nothing to learn somewhere. You think there's nothing to learn. But there's everything to learn. There's everything to learn. Stand to your feet, everybody. How many are going to arise and shine? How many of us believe that light has come? How many of us believe God is giving you a vision? What vision is God giving you? God is giving you visions. God is showing you people. People. He's showing you, be like this. Be like this man. He's saying, do what he's doing. Yes. He's making you hear certain figures, certain things. When you hear it, the vision is entering. You are hearing things that shall be hereafter. Don't look at yourself. If you want to ever believe in a prophecy, I beg you, you are the worst person to look at yourself. You will stop praying. As soon as you look at yourself, you say, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name. I'm sorry for it. And your faith for everything is finished. Has it not happened to you 100 times? I mean, when I'm praying, I think of myself. No, immediately, forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, forgive me. I can't pray again. Hey. Or it doesn't happen to you. As soon as you look to yourself, the darkness in you is, you look at it and say, no, no, no. Father, I thank you for the great visions that are being given to your people today. Thank you for a new day, new chapter in ministry, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for whatever you speak to our hearts and whatever new vision you create. We receive it, we receive it, we receive it, we receive it. Greater and greater things in ministry. We thank you that he who began a good work in us shall bring it to a perfect end. We receive the vision. We receive the vision. We receive the vision. We receive the vision. The great vision of outstanding ministry. Great ministry. Great ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for churches all over Zimbabwe. Thank you that if other nations will fall to other religions, Zimbabwe will never fall to any other religion, in Jesus' name. Thank you that if other nations will walk in a curse, Zimbabwe will never walk in that curse, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this blessing. We receive the mighty visions that you give to us, that we may walk in it, that we may run and run and run. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, I don't need to even read these such verses to you. I want to just say them and you'll know that it's you. Who is the one who is a city set on a hill which cannot be hit? Who is that? You are the city set on a hill. I predict that you will be an outstanding success in your life and ministry. It's a city set on a hill. Hey, everybody say, look at that. That's beautiful. That's how people will be pointing to you. Say, oh, look at that. That's fantastic. A city set on a hill, people will go there to visit. A city set on a hill. That's your destiny. Do you believe it? I declare over my life, you to declare over your life, that I am an outstanding success in the ministry. You are the salt of the world. What does it mean? You will be needed. You not need salt in your house, sir. Every day you say, bring salt, bring salt, bring salt. People will call for you every day and call for your ministry. Some of you have not been called for. But from now, they will call for you and say, we need you. That's your future. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You are the light of the world. What does a light of the world mean? Influencing. Look at this light. The sun has come on. It has affected us. We have all got up. We all got out of bed and came out. We've all come to town. When the light goes out, the animals will come out and we will go to bed. Is it not amazing? Imagine a man who has no child. And God says, I will make you a great nation. God, you are joking, oh. I will bless them that bless you. All families of theirs will be blessed. At a point, Abraham said, look, what are you saying, God? This Eliza you've got in the house, I have no child. Every day, he prophesied from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22. Every chapter was something, you will be great, you will be great, you will be great. No show. Then Isaac came. 22, go and sacrifice him. I prophesy over you for 100 years. You will be great, you will be great, you will be an outstanding success. Even if 10 chapters of prophecies, receive that prophecy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a mighty clap of him. Let's welcome Dr.
Wow. Clap your hands, clap your hands, clap your hands. Evangelist, thank you for such a ministry changing time of you. Clap your hands. Let's appreciate the gift of God. Let's appreciate the blessing of God. Let's appreciate the grace of God. It is clear that your ministry will not be the same again. I'm sure you can now see that there is something you did not know about. Yes. There is a type, there is a wisdom, there is a way, there is a light you've never seen. Yes. Wow. I mean, Evangelist has been preaching to me for the past 25 years. 25, minimum. I've heard things today I've never heard before. And I believe that my ministry is ascending. Yes. I really believe that my spiritual weight has increased just by being here today. So no matter who you are, if you are a pastor of a 100-member church, begin to see the future. Yes. I mean, I've learned today not to respect the things around me today. I mean, they shouldn't form any impression of me. Because I am not what I am seeing today. Yes. So are you not what I am seeing today? And you must not see yourself by your environment today. May God give you a better picture. You know something? Can you clap your hands again for the message you've heard today? Yes. Emergency hand clap.